I don't really know exactly what's going to happen today, and that's a good thing. But I can tell you, I have a scripture, and I'll tell you what it is. And I have a purpose, and I'll tell you what that is, too. The scripture, and you can go there, but who knows when we'll get to it, but is in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. And the purpose is, I want to, I want to change your behavior. Now don't get all condemned by that. I'm not saying that I want you to, stop this or start that or whatever. Here's what it is. I want us to begin to, or to continue to imagine living this life of Christ-powered change agents in the world. I want you to imagine living that together. Because you can't live it alone. You can't do it. You can wear a certain self, well, it's self-righteousness actually, but you can live the right way, you can do the right things and everything, but in order to impact the world, you are built as a relational creature. So in order to impact the world, we do it through relationship. We do it one-on-one with the people that we touch, but we also do it together, not alone. There's not a single one of us here that's meant to be a lone ranger, thank God. You see, tonight you've seen, this morning you've seen a lot of our pastoral staff here already, and I believe you're going to see the rest before we're done, because we're a team, because we do this together, because no one of us is thank you, Lord. Open your eyes of my understanding, Lord. So the purpose of Sunday morning, this service here, this is why we're here, is to instill in each one of us a sense of repentance toward God. That's why we show up here. We show up here to have our minds changed. More specifically, we come here to come to a place where we come to agree with God about who He says you are, what your purpose is, and what the possibilities are. Because what you think your possibilities are what I think my possibilities are. All things are possible. Remember that?
Amen.
Right. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. There ain't jack that's possible through me. And I say that because I have decades of experience at falling short in what I expected to do on my own strength. So I don't just say that just as some kind of throwaway statement. I know that it's true that every piece of what I have that has any meaning, that has touched any life for God, came from Him, through Him, and because of Him. So another thing that we do together is, we have classes, education, the King's Life Center. Where Don and others will get into some basics about evangelism. At other times, we've had, I did a series on leadership, and we've had other things where we do Bible studies. We do these things, and the purpose of that is, edification. That's where we become sanctified. That's a process. That has to be something we have to get this stuff into our soul. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your spirit is alive and well. But your soul is still on the road. You know, it's still on the way. So that has a place too. We come to understand what God says, who God says you are. It's an identity change. It's an assumption. It's learning to, rather than spout verses or even listen to the voice of doubt and failure in our own head. Instead, we learn to stand in the identity of victory. You know, we wear it. But the purpose of life groups, you see, that's where we cement this bond between what you believe, all these things that you're coming to believe what God says about you, and your behavior. So this is what I'm getting back to. Each of us needs to come to a place where we act in accordance with what we believe. So one part of that is if we believe that this life of God, this being agents to change the world, beginning in our community and elsewhere, if we believe that that's something that has to be done together, because the Word said so, then we need to start doing that. We need to, this is good, but right now, you see, you're all looking at me. I'm not sure exactly what I think about that, but we don't go there. But the thing is, you're looking at me. You're not looking at each other. When you're sitting in this room, you're not sharing life with one another. Yes, you're having a common experience where you're being blessed and you're blessing God, and together God is responding to all of us together. That is a wonderful thing. But you're not sharing your lives. That takes an intentional commitment to do something different. And that something different, the way we implement it here and in many places, is in life groups. He sure has. So life groups are just what it sounds like. It's groups of people sharing lives. You know, we there's a number of different groupings, men's group, women's group, young marriage groups, new believers, old believers, and everything in between. So remember I said I had a scripture and I told you what it was, and here's my purpose. My purpose is that each one of you is going to actually put your feet in gear and visit a home group this month. Too close to the end of the month. Well, yeah, no, that's right. We'll set the bar high. This month. That, just so you know, that means this week. Because it won't happen until you make it happen. You know, much as we love you, we just, you know, for most of us, you know, we're not going to have a car pull up to your road. Hello, hi, I'm here to get you for life group. What do you mean? I don't know anything about it. Well, you know, just come with me. I wish that we could do that. That would be awesome. Let's work on that. But mostly, you're going to have to decide for yourself. All right. So this is the place in life groups where we minister to the whole person. You know, here, there's every aspect of your life here. And I thank God if you are able, when you're here in your time of worship, in your time of prayer here, if you're able to really turn over every aspect of your life, your soul, your emotions, your thoughts, good, bad, or otherwise, all the ways that your head goes in places you don't want it to go, your emotions, all the ways you respond to things, perhaps in ways you don't want to, perhaps you do, and your decisions. You know what you Where are you going to go? These are things that require a, you know this, it requires a certain level of intimacy. It requires you to be able to choose to make yourself vulnerable in a group. Now, don't get me wrong, when I don't want to, because I think that could probably scare somebody off. Oh, I have to be vulnerable? Look, it's a process. Right? It's a process. You know, it's like anything else. You know, I don't care if it's chess club in school or whatever. The first time you show up, you don't really know what to expect, but you just know that you have something in common with the other people there. So you're going to show up, and perhaps you'll remain reserved, you know, until you're made comfortable enough to be able to come out a little bit. Well, that's the purpose. You see, we have something that chess club per se doesn't have. We have the presence and the power of Jesus Christ to enable us to move in ways that we might not choose to do otherwise, to open up to one another, and to realize that God has put in each one of you the power, the specific gifting to bless somebody else in this room. And if you don't do it, well, God's purposes are not that easily thwarted. You know, it'll happen. But it ain't going to happen through you, which means you're not going to get the blessing. You know, and I don't know. You know, the word says there's a day. You know, so there's a day when it's the end of story. You know, so when I say that if you don't do it, it'll get done anyhow. Maybe. You know, maybe not. This is the job that God gave you. It's an interesting note I wrote to myself. Just reminded me that. In Luke, Jesus just reminds them that he who doesn't gather with me scatters. You see, and that's really the whole purpose of choosing to join together in small groups and sharing our lives together is to gather you together into one heart. Gather those in the community into a place where they can be comfortable and they can hear how God has changed your life. And they can begin to imagine in a non-threatening situation how God could change their life too. Amen. Yeah, another random note I have, but it's not random, of course, you know, because we do have a men's group and we have a foundations group, but you know, so I just as I was going through this, this one scripture, which is an easy one for all of you young men to remember because of just what it is. It's 2 Timothy 2:22. All right, and it tells you, to flee youthful lusts, to make a choice, you know, to flee youthful. And how does it say to do it? To pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the name of the Lord. It doesn't say, you read that verse, it does not say that you're to do it and you're just to draw this strength out of wherever and to just come up with a resolve that you've never had before. It says to do it with those. All right, you know what? I'm going to get to the scripture. Listen, the first three chapters of Ephesians, I'm oversimplifying here, but talk about who you are. Not who you think you are, but who you really are. Go ahead. It's only half a dozen pages. Go ahead and read it. And before you start, say, God, tell me who I am. Help me to see in your word here. You know, because, I mean, those chapters will tell you that you're blessed with every spiritual blessing, that you were chosen before the foundation of the world was laid. God chose you to be on his team way before he chose anything else. You. Not somebody else. not the other person who comes to church more often than you and reads his Bible more than you and prays better than you do, or whatever else you might imagine where you kind of put yourself an unfavorable comparison to other people. No, you. His grace is freely bestowed on you, it says. It's lavished on you, overabundance. You are sealed in him with his Holy Spirit. Sealed. It's one of them. It reminds you that you were a child of wrath, that you were dead in your sins, but now you've made alive. You've been made alive with him, raised up with him, and seated with him in heavenly places. That you're a citizen there in the heavenlies, and that he's able to do abundantly and exceedingly more than anything that you could ask or imagine or think. All right, so that's the platform that gets built in the first three chapters, and then we get into the fourth chapter when God begins to talk about, all right, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? So here, I'll read. I have a couple different versions because most of you know me know that I do that. So, but in the King James, New King James, he says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." When? Or till what? Till we all come, for what purpose? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's right. The perfect man, duh, we're not talking about man here. Let's, in the, the Amplified says, makes it really mature manhood. The completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. So when we say think about that when the word talks about maturity, sometimes it'll call it perfection. When it's talking about us, completed. It's really talking about a completeness of personality, no missing pieces. The thing that he had in mind back there before he laid the foundations of the earth, the thing he had in mind for you then, anyhow. verse 14. So that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Well, let's unpack that a little bit, just a little here. The purpose of the gifts of these people, the message says, he handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher, to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work. All right, so that's the point, to train in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed, within and without, fully alive like Christ. Now, can't you just picture us moving rhythmically and easily, efficient and graceful in response to Jesus? I don't know. If any of you are choreographers, maybe that brings a nice image to mind of us moving efficiently and gracefully together. But that's the idea, because this is a choreographed routine here where we all have our place. Step in. Just had a notion that the word is a lamp unto our feet, and the word, it says it just shows us one step at a time. I was just picturing those dancers, they have little marks on the floor, pieces of tape, so they know where to step. Well, that's it. It's a dance. Amen. So no longer be children. See, all of you who have kids know, and they're cute, you know, and they do cute things and they're whatever, but when they're babies, but we expect them to grow up. We want them to grow up. It doesn't mean that we don't appreciate just how cotton pick and cute they are, you know, when they're just, you know, little, but we expect them to grow up because we know that that's what's needed in order to survive, to thrive, to be what they were intended to be. Well, it's the same thing here. Again, the message says, verse 14, no prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are easy mark, who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love, to be like Christ in everything. Again, it has to be together. And how do we know? Because the bottom line is, once he's said his intention to have us to be grow up into the fullness of what he has imagined for us, he says how? He says, because of him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts. Now, wherever you are here, you're one of those various parts. Closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it's supplied. Joints and ligaments. We're talking about the things that hold together the pieces. Well, that's what the life groups are. That's the framework that holds us together person to person. You see, because sitting here this morning, we've all been blessed up one side and down the other. But we're not closely joined and firmly knit together. You know, this isn't the venue for that. But we're called to it, so we need to seek out the venue where that is. So, you know what? I'm going to let that go. So, let me talk about our life groups. We have life groups that run, not necessarily every day of every week, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If you include the upcoming youth-oriented activities that are coming there, which is intended to be relational building. So whatever night you have, there's something it's worth checking out anyhow. I won't say that there's something that'll meet your need, but you know what? If there isn't a group out there that'll meet your need, you come and talk to me, and I'll equip you, and you can be the magnet that draws other people that have that same need to yourself. We'll make it happen. Because we all need to be drawn together we need to make sure that those joints and ligaments are there for each one of us. You know, we can't have some bone or, you know, various part hanging off there with nothing to connect it to the body. So we'll make sure we get it. So why don't you talk for a second about your youth group, your life group. And I think that you have somebody that you'll bring up for a testimony. So let's hear a little bit of a few testimonies from people that are currently participating in groups, and so we can hear, like, well, you know, what are they getting out of it? What do they see? Okay.
Come on, praise God. Amen. First of all, let's say this. Everybody say it together. Say, I can. You can. We can. I got your back. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I can, you can, we can, I got your back. That's what life groups is all about. And that's what we do with each other. We come, sometimes we just talk, sometimes it's Bible study. It's how the Holy Spirit leads us. I don't know what your week has been, all right? And, it's an open forum where you can talk honestly about what's really going on in your life. And that's what you need. You know, we need to take this little phony mask on that we put on every Sunday. You know, when we smile, how you doing? Oh, everything is fine. All right, when you're broken inside. See, we need to take that mask off and be honest. And be honest enough to receive the people that's going to say something. That's what the life group is all about. That you just speak about your troubles, no matter what it is. All right? And through the word of God, we allow a word of God to minister to your heart. It's like going to the doctor. I'm the pharmacist. I just give you the prescription to make you whole. That's what it's all about. Ed Smith, just come up for a minute, Ed, and just talk. Ed is one that's been in the church with us, and he's been coming to the life group. And where's Greg at? I'm going to put you on the spot today. You didn't know it. You're going to say a little something, too. That's right. Take a deep breath. Right quick. All right? Just quick, and just let them know about, you know, life group, and let them know, you know, about the Bible studies and stuff that we're doing, how it helped change your life.
Good morning, church. All right. Yes, life group. Pastor Moore is another, that's another pastor. Pastor Mapes is having life groups at his home on Wednesdays. I'm joining that. I'm partaking in that. And as he said, it is an opportunity to come together and share not only in scripture, but in your personal life. And I believe, was it Joshua? That said, you're vulnerable. Well, life group is an opportunity to become unvulnerable. My take on that is that if I don't fear God, who else do I have to fear? In terms of exposing, sharing, just touching on your personal life, things that may be going on with you in your life, be it your home, be it even church members right here, be it the church itself. It's a format and an opportunity to just share and become comfortable in who you are and what this is about, what this is all about. And I enjoyed our meeting Wednesday, okay, because it gave me an opportunity to express some inner things, feelings that were going on with me, things that I may have been not privy of or confused about, misunderstood. This is where we gathered an understanding, where we just shared at the table and just cleared the air. When I left Pastor Mapes' home that evening, Wednesday evening, I felt much better than I did before I got there. Okay, so that was my testimony. That was my testimony. Because I had some things to share. And I needed to understand. And so the life group gave me an understanding. Okay, and if it's not happening here with the church, and it is, in fact, but it is even something that you may want to consider even doing in your own home. I guess there's not a problem with that. It shouldn't be. If you're a close community, have close friends. Sunday comes, and like Pastor Mapes says, some of us wear the mask. Life group is a place to take that mask off. All right.
Look fast in the hurry.
Good morning, everyone. Like they were saying, that it's a good thing. Everybody have their own problems. Everybody have their own way of looking at things. I come from a family of Jehovah's Witnesses. We came. We got bounced from this place to that place, and kind of got got this fellowship when I was there because I did things which I'm not too proud of, but you know, that's the way it was growing up. And then I ran into Pastor Mapes. I wasn't married, but I had a daughter and everything else, and my life was just starting to get kind of tangled up. I wound up in jail because of child support, and they felt that I was responsible for my daughter. And I seen Pastor Mapes in jail, and I was like, hey, Pastor Mapes, how's it going? He says, well, I'm a pastor now. So I said to myself, when I get out, I'm going to go to Pastor Mapes' church. And I've been there ever since, and then now we're over here. But we all run into our own problems and our own situations of things. And like you said, the support groups are there to help us. I mean, it was a big transaction from his church to coming over here in the Kingsfire. And with, like Ed said, that we all need to make changes in our lives and the way we do things. And that was the way we got a lot of things out in the open. So that's all I could say right now. And I'm glad to be alive, and God's helping me out with all my troubles. You know. So much.
Chris and Carrie run a group for young marrieds, and that's all I need to say.
Thanks, Gary. My wife and I co-host, along with Elio and Gail and Dan and Amber. We all kind of co-guide slash lead a young married couple's home group every other Monday, and that's our next meeting is this coming Monday. At one meeting on Monday, we'll just have fellowship. Last time we went, we had a great time of worship and prayer and just fellowship and dessert. We have food too. And then on the off days, we're going to have a married couple who's been married for quite a while come and share us wisdom about their relationship, about their marriage, and we can ask them questions and just take advice and wisdom from people who have been married a long time, longer than any of us. And just want to encourage you to, you know, if you don't fit the profile of our group, to just join any of the groups that are out there. You can't get to know people in the cafe, you know, speaking to them for 10, 20 minutes after a service. You need to share a meal with them, share a fellowship with them for an hour or two before you can really, you know, break through those service conversations and get down to something deep. And that's where you really can connect with people and that you'll feel connected to this church. If you only come here on Sundays, you will never know what's totally going on. You'll always feel disconnect. I just encourage you to join a group. I've gotten to know two of the newer guys, I mean, Guy and Elio, at our group that I wouldn't have otherwise gotten to know like I have. And it's been a great blessing. So, yeah, that's our group.
You can bring your husband too if you want. This is beautiful, Gail, and she's a co-host for that group. But she also is in another group based on the Fireproof series. It's a marriage enrichment group. So I asked her if she would say something.
This group, like, when I went into it, I wasn't really expecting much, but it's really been showing me a lot about God's love, and I never really had an understanding of love. But I've just been understanding it and applying it, and it's just changed my life completely more than you would ever think. The word love has been so watered down that you say, oh, love, you know, and it's, but it's just amazing how much it's really, like, done, and I'm just like.
Thank you.
All right. How can I follow that? It's been a blessing. Dawn and Cliff Harris, you know, run this fireproof marriage series, and I would encourage married couples, don't listen to what the world says about marriage. The world just, you know, people get married as a convenience. You know, it's a contract. This is a covenant. We make a covenant with God watching us. You know, we stick it out, even through the fire. And one of the verses, or one of the lines that the movie says is, you never leave your partner in a fire. You never leave your partner in a fire. Just think about that. The fire of life, you know. So I just encourage you, all of you, I mean, even the young groups, just join. We are the body of Christ. We need each other. You know, and together we are stronger. In his name, we are stronger. You know, and you won't realize you until you open your mouth and you say, wow, you're going through the same thing I'm going through. So praise God for these groups, and I just really encourage you. Thank you.
So there's a lot more people that were graciously willing to testify, but so now I know you've all decided that this week you're going to go to a group, all right? So you saw Carrie and Chris. They're, you know, the best way to find out about it is, you know, I think we do have some printed stuff, and there is definitely information on the website about it, but the best thing is to just go to the person, you know, begin it in the way that you want to continue it, face-to-face, say, I'm interested, what do I need to know? So there's a men's group that meets once a month for fun and frolic. Sean, would you stand up? You don't have to say anything, just stand up. This is Sean. So men, that's who you go to talk to just to say, yep, make sure I know about it. Here's my contact information. All right. And there's a women's group that also meets once a month. You know, these are social groups. I don't think Dawn is here, so Susan, if you wouldn't mind, would you stand up, please? This is my beautiful wife, Susan, and you can just talk to her. Same thing. The information is out there in a lot of ways, but the best thing is just say, I really want to do this. Please, here's my number. Make sure I know about it. All right? What else we got? We got Don, Sean... Oh, Jim and Christina, are they here? No, they're not. Okay, but they have a meeting in their house that's getting underway now. Steve and Robin Cook, are you here? No, they're not. Okay, all right. So that's a Wednesday night group and a Thursday night group. There's a group for I won't necessarily say new believers, but maybe I will. New believers, including all. Everyone who doesn't have a firm grasp on all that, those first three chapters of Ephesians, I said, where God tells you who you are and, you know, what it is that you possess now because you belong to him, if you belong to him. There's a foundations group to lay those foundations on Thursday nights. Is Brian here? If not, then Brian and Sean, again, either one of these two young men, these guys facilitate this. You will be blessed. You will walk out of this group, not just one at a time, but over the course of time, being able to take hold of that change that God is doing in you. You know, learn to stand in that identity of victory. So, again, and I know there's some of you here. If you don't have, I don't want to do that. But if you don't think that you have a firm enough grasp on who you are in God to be able to maybe not take this microphone and say it here, but at least be able to express it to someone else that you have that, well, then avail yourself of this opportunity Thursday night and just let your life with God be built one brick at a time. You know, lay that foundation, because these guys will walk you through how to do life, the life of God. One of the other things that we do in groups, in relationship, in together is try to touch our community, to evangelize. There's a lot of lost sheep out there. Sometimes there's lost sheep in here, too. So I'm going to have Xavier come up and give a testimony of his experience recently evangelizing with a group, efforts to touch this community.
Yeah, so Vaughn said, Wednesday morning, we're going to pray in the prayer meeting, 7 to 8, and then we're going to hit the streets of Broadway. So yeah, it was Brian, Gentry, Annette, me, Tim, Jeremy, and Vaughn. And we all prayed in like for about an hour, and then we went out to Broadway, except I had to go get gas at Stewart's, and it was Tim and I. So we pull up to Stewart's, and I go to pump gas, and Tim's like, all right, it starts here. And then he went to the guy next to me and already started praying for him. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. He already just made one decision right there at the gas station. So then we go and we head out to Broadway. And then we parked over by the YMCA. And then we're walking down the street and we already see, like across from us in the corner, we already see Brian and Jeremy already praying for somebody. So then we saw somebody on this corner. And then you see Drenchy and Annette on the next corner. And we were just following each other back and forth, going up and down the streets, praying for people. Tim and I, within probably about 45 minutes, had five decisions already made on Broadway. And then we're walking down this one street, and then Tim sees this guy walking. And he's like, we're going to go, and we're going to talk to this guy. So we go and talk to this guy, and then Tim, the whole morning, is just walking up. Hi, my name is Tim. I want to tell you about the love of Jesus. And people just look at you like, okay. Like, what can they say to that, you know? They don't hear that every day. So then So we go and talk to this guy, and then Tim says that to him. He's like, whoa! And we're like, what? He's like, you won't believe it, but last year in this same corner, a sister came and talked to me about Christ, and she was telling me things in my life that she should not have known about. And then we were like, yeah, well, that's the power of God, you know? He wants you, man. He loves you. And then he started talking to us how he kind of went away for the Lord for a little while because all problems that the world gave him, and he forgot that we don't care about the world because we have the kingdom. We're in the kingdom. We have Christ, you know? So then we started talking to him, and we were like, listen, man, the Lord obviously is calling you back to be on the same corner, the same time, you know, the same month telling you about the love of Christ. You can't beat that, man. That's like three things in a row right there. So we pray with him and stuff, you know. Tim's doing the prayer, and I'm backing him up and stuff. And then during the time we were talking to him, he was telling us how he has three daughters, except he only has one. Two of his daughters got, like, taken away from him. So Tim's praying for him, and after we get done praying for him, Tim's talking to him, and then immediately the Lord showed me a vision of him holding all three of his daughters together. So I had to interrupt Tim talking to him, and I was like, listen, man, you're going to have your three daughters back. Your family's going to come back together. And immediately he just broke and just grabbed both of us and gave us a hug. So then Tim and I just prayed, you know, agreed on that and declared it, you know. His family's going to come back together for him. So it just shows, you know, you don't have to do this thing alone. I mean, I haven't evangelized really at all. And then that morning, Vaughn was like, listen, Wednesday morning, we're going to do it. I was like, all right, canceled work. And I went out with my friends, and we went out evangelizing, and it was great. I didn't fear man. How can you fear man? You're going out there preaching the word. This is what we're called to do, tell people about the love of Christ. I mean, if you're just sitting down in chairs, then you're not doing your full job. We got called into eternal life. Now we got to work for it, telling people, listen, God loves you. So I just encourage you guys, don't be scared. You know, we went out Saturday. We went out in teams again, preaching the word. You know, it's awesome. I feel like my walk now with Christ has just been expanded by 100-fold. So I just encourage you guys, go out there, grab a friend, one, two people. That's it. It's easy.
Amen. These guys are awesome. Really, they are. I wasn't going to do this, but he won't let me get away with it. So I have to tell you something. Without the love and power of God and his great faithfulness and his willingness to show me his great faithfulness, I'm not supposed to be here today. I mean, specifically today. And I'm not going to go into a great deal, but I just want to tell you that pretty much exactly 1 week ago right now, the enemy was had taken his best shot at taking me out. And in the night before that, it was a long night, and I'll tell you, there was a part of me that was willing to just say, I want to walk away from all this. Some circumstances came up, and I know I have to give you at least enough to be able to hang your hat on this. And a crushing depression that I have not experienced in over 30 years came back on me. My I do not want to go into the. I will not give the enemy the satisfaction of even talking about that, other than to say it was intense. The difference between 30 years ago and now, and the reason why this was not a year-long episode like it was 30 years ago, but it was maybe 30 hours, the most intense 30 hours I probably had in life, but the difference was I belong to God. Amen. I belong to Jesus now. He has purchased me. By his pain, his blood, his willingness to step away from absolute perfection to draw me to himself, to draw me to a place where I could achieve, I could actually step into that purpose that he had for me when he first imagined me, before he imagined what North America would look like. So I was able to stand there, and I was able to proclaim that I'm not having it. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to shake this off on my own, but God, I believe that you do. So I just want to tell you, no, I don't want to tell you. I want to ask you. If you're at a place where you don't know what to do with what life is bringing in your way, and perhaps right now you're not, perhaps you are, and you don't have that resource, that absolute knowledge in your innermost peace, that God is with you, that God is for you, and therefore there is nothing to fear from anything else. If you do not have that, frankly, you're doomed to fail. And the enemy will take you out. And I love you. And I don't want that to happen. And I want you to be the person that God says you're supposed to be.